All right, welcome back in. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Jimmy here as well, 1620 The Zone. Brian Christopherson will stop by here momentarily. Last week of spring ball for Nebraska. The spring game is at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's see Dylan Raiola. People be excited to see him. I'm sure he'll sign some autographs after the game.
Hey, you look good, by the way.
Okay, so it's... Yeah, okay, I got to move that.
Look at you.
This is just...
Look at you.
I feel like the Philadelphia 76ers here. I'm blowing a good show. I don't even know what to look at nowadays.
Oh, okay? Man. It's like a different face.
Yeah.
Hello, Gary.
Hello. Hello.
That's not like Nebraska ball, Mike.
You'll be doing the Creighton game tonight against Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
Love that Coastal Carolina is coming here. They are red hot. They could be back here in 2 months.
Yep.
I just don't like, there's nothing I can do about it, or you can do about it, or anybody, that you're going to have pitchers pitching that probably normally wouldn't pitch against Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
So it's a midweek game, conference weekend. And they got Georgetown, who was 8-1 and then got swept by UConn. So it's a huge weekend for Creighton, which has lost two straight Big East series. Good enough to split? Like, I don't know who Coastal Carolina is pitching. I know they score a lot of runs.
And that's their pitching is a little bit leaky, especially with the guys that they're rolling out. But they're typical midweek guys, and so I don't expect them to go very far. But from an ERA standpoint, from a strikeout-to-walk ratio, it's juicy. I mean, it's gettable, but... their offensive numbers are impressive. They've got a lot of dudes. For some reason, too, if you look at their lineup, pretty much hitters 2 through 8 all have the last name that starts with the letter B. So you have your killer Bs. Well, they've got Bender, Barthel, Boating, Brown, Beach, all in that order, too. Bourne. Those are all in that order, too.
Wow.
Yeah. They swing it. And that's the part of... where I think college baseball has caught up to this ballpark. At one point you thought advantage Creighton, but now you see the ball flying out there a lot more. Now there is the outfield depth, which I do think is always a bit of an adjustment. But as far as how Creighton matches up with Coastal Carolina, I would think that the overall offensive numbers that Coastal has, this is going to be without question the stiffest challenge that Creighton has had in the midweek. I don't even know if it's debatable. And that's with all due respect to Nebraska, because I think...
Oh, no, you can say that.
I think Nebraska, at times...
Coastal Carolina's a College World Series capable team. Nebraska is not.
They're a team that could host. They're a team that probably is in good position to host. Coastal Carolina, that is. And so it's probably... the fact that Creighton's not rolling out, say, a Malachi Vitak, or if Cancellari was okay...
yeah,
to roll a guy out like that.
Yeah. By the way, his injury and then Gillen is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's kind of stunted that early season progress.
And that's in a way that's been the impressive thing about Ed's team is they've been dealt blow after blow, and it's happened in so many different parts of the season, whether it's your Friday guy or it was Jack Grace or what happened to Clifford. Hogan Haligzo was slow coming back out of the first weekend. So withstanding all of that, you get to that point, especially if you get some arms that are reeling a bit. I will say this again about Creighton. You know it as well. That defense, it's usually pitching and defense. Those are the hallmark Ed Service teams. Defensively, they're not as buckled in as they typically are. And so... I think there's an opportunity for them to get one in these next 2 days. But, Gary, my biggest concern right now is that'd be great. Hell, they could go 2-0, which would be a bit of a surprise considering the competition. But if they went 2-0, yet drop a series to Georgetown, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about staying at home for the second straight year, which would not be good.
Yeah.
So Coastal Carolina's RPI is 13. Now, Creighton, after that weekend against Villanova, which... you can say Villanova's playing better, but now Villanova has, 9 wins on the season?
Yes.
So their RPI has fallen to 49, and you're a shade back of Xavier for fourth in the Big East. So I just hope there's a good crowd there for the next 2 nights. I hope there's a really, really good crowd. You're going to see good college baseball. the most important guy that's going to play today between Lincoln and Omaha is Drew Christo. So Drew Christo is starting today. Nebraska's got to win that game on the race to get to 40. Mm-hmm. They can't drop another midweek game. Nebraska's 3-4. They still have Creighton, Kansas State, North Dakota State in the midweek. So they got to win tonight. I mean, you can't pussyfoot around it. They got to win. They got to have a 3-1 week minimum. Iowa is trying to turn their season around. You're going to have to face Breck at some point this weekend, and he's going to be the only guy out of the Big Ten that's going to be drafted in the first round. He's going to be one of the top pitching prospects, who it appears he's started to turn things around. Mm-hmm. So it's a 3-1 minimum week. But there is nobody more important that's going to pitch today in this state, because remember, Skeens doesn't pitch till tomorrow, is Drew Christo. So he hasn't gotten out of the fifth inning in his previous four starts.
Yep.
He has really, really struggled. They are going to need, when they get to Omaha for the Big Ten or they advance to the next weekend, at some point you're going to need a fourth starter. I think Will Walsh will be their third starter. Is Drew Christo, is there a moment where now we go, okay, show us? Because if, again, he doesn't go a ways, man, I don't know what his role is for Nebraska moving forward, because I think they desperately would like him to just seize this opportunity tonight. And you could lock him in for the next couple of weeks where he's pitching on a Tuesday.
Yep.
And then remember, possibly where you are pitching in the Big Ten tournament to save your season or to play in the championship game or in the championship game is that number four guy.
Look at what Will Walsh did last year in the Big Ten tournament. You know, and now look where he is now. As those moments are enormous. You know, he throws a complete game shutout against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. And then people saw what a healthy Will Walsh can do. For me, Drew Christo, this is where it becomes really up in the air. If he's unable to give you more of what you see. Go back to that series that they had against Grand Canyon, where he was dealing.
Mm-hmm.
And really early on, had a couple shaky moments, but for the most part was really dealing. And you could really see the positive work that he had done with Rob Childers. And it's just kind of gotten sideways on him again, and it comes down to commanding the strike zone. But if it's not there tonight, there's two factors that I think are going to be very interesting on the overall role. Unlike previous pitching coaches, I'll go all the way back to Ted Silva, but also Jeff Christie, sometimes their hands, they were just forced to throw guys in situations, whether it be injury or you're just running out of bullpen arms, that you had to trot guys out there. Rob Childress, if he doesn't trust you, you're not going to be out there. And the other part of it is, if he can't lock down that 4A or 4B starter, and I say 4B in those tournament situations or tournament scenarios where you have to give a spot start, what's Drew Christo's role going to be? It's almost as if this is that last opportunity, because then you think of, well, he could be a valuable bullpen arm. Do you trust him? If you can't lock down that spot, guys out of the bullpen, especially get to this time of the season, bring those guys out of the bullpen, unless it's an absolute dumpster fire one way or the other. You're up big or you're down big. But in this part of the season where every series and every midweek game is crucial, you're bringing in guys in the bullpen when it's still a game because you trust them and you need to put out some type of a fire. Can you trust a guy to do that? And that would be my biggest question.
My only other thing about, I hope people go to Coastal Carolina Creighton. There'll be a good crowd. Nebraska will have 4,000 or 5,000 people tonight to watch KU, and they'll have a monster weekend against Iowa once they get past the potential rain on Friday. They got to do something about, now that we got beer at Haymarket, next thing to do, they gotta up the fan experience, like the entertainment, the sound effects, the music, all of that kind of stuff. That's the next phase at Haymarket Park that they have to work on.
We noticed that in the Nebraska Creighton game, and I think Bishop brought it up, where we were starting to recycle sound effects. I know you remember a lot of that old crew there. Pank was always a stud with the music and the presentation. Yeah, it's stale. It's probably the best way to describe it a little bit. A lot of things that you remember probably 10 years ago are still things now. It's it's kind of symbolism to the stadium.
Much like how they play the same music at the football games, the same time, the same song.
It's kind of symbolism to the stadium too, where it's a nice stadium. And this is the other thing about everybody from Husker Vision to their game ops. Those I call them kids, but those young adults, they work their tail off. They do, but yeah, it's time to freshen things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's almost like they haven't gone anywhere else to listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always a big fan of that. I know with the hockey product at Baxter, I always, and this is the one thing, you remember Phil Manley and mm-hmm. Packer, and those guys were amazing. They would go to other venues and they would take notes and they would see what other people are doing, the things that they liked and the things they didn't like.
Music
and theirs.
Sound effects can change a lot in
baseball.
Absolutely.
Your fan engagement overall? Absolutely.
I worked for a place that was like one of the first things that we made sure we were on top of.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just update the music a little bit. Or just let me come up there and do it.
If I got to hear Calvin Harris My Way another time, I'm at a...
You're wanting the Sinatra version.
It's kind of the Yamo Be There. I'm going to Yamo Burn This Place to the Ground.
Yikes, arson.
They don't play Yamo Be There, though. But yeah, I hear that Calvin Harris.
I mean, when the opposing pitching coach goes to the mound, I want to hear the three best friends.
Yeah. They don't do that. So other Big Ten venues did that a lot, and I loved it.
Let's make it hostile. You got the Hawkeyes are coming in this weekend without Caitlin.
So you know the one. That's true. You're right. And this is a big weekend for that. This is a good time to bring this up, Gary, because you still got a couple of days.
I know people that are drinking, they want to be engaged.
Yeah. You got Iowa. You got to bring the A game. You got to freshen things up. The one place that does it really good, and I've talked highly of their overall baseball stadium setup at Penn State, but their sound effects guy.
Probably the same guy that does their minor league games.
I bet it is, yeah. Oh. Almost to the point that it's obnoxious, but it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Mojo Haggie was playing, they created a sound effect specifically for him of the Mojo. So when they would be like, now batting the right fielder, number 39, Mojo Haggie. And then he would foul it off. He'd be like, you just hear Mojo. It was hilarious. We would be laughing during the broadcast.
Just a subtle request I have.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, quick break. Nebraska Ball Mike has got a thought or two. He'll join us next on 1620 The Zone.